You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Someone You Love Has Alzheimer's. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Let me tell you about a co-worker's experience. I'll call him George. One day while visiting Ted and Louise, George noticed an elderly person in the kitchen. "Oh, George, this is my mother Martha. Martha, this is our friend George," Louise announced. "I'm glad to meet you," George said, extending his hand. "No, you aren't glad to meet me," Martha shot back, refusing to shake his hand, "and I don't like you." George was shocked. Louise pulled the stunned guest aside and whispered, "My mother doesn't mean that. She has Alzheimer's. She hates her disease, and that's why she talks that way." During the next months, George learned that Martha was deteriorating. Sometimes she wandered away and forgot where she was staying, so Louise had to search for her. Also, Louise spent hours fighting to help Martha bathe, dress, comb her hair, eat, put in eye drops, and take medication 6 times a day. Occasionally, Martha wanted to wash dishes, but she forgot which were clean and which were dirty, and so she mixed them up. And then Martha insisted on watering houseplants, but she killed them. So daughter Louise gave her special plants to kill. After a year, Louise did nothing but look after her mother. She had no time to clean house, no time to cook, no time to shop. Martha would wake up repeatedly at night. Louise became exhausted, irritable, resentful. She asked her brothers to take turns helping, but they claimed they were too busy. Louise was so angry that she stopped speaking to them. Finally, hating to do it, she and Ted placed Martha into a nursing home, which I might add they could hardly afford. Martha died 2 years later. Louise barely speaks to her brothers now, and she prays for strength to forgive them. In the United States alone, 4 million persons have Alzheimer's, and they in turn affect the lives of 20 million relatives. In Canada, the percentages are similar. They may not all have Martha's symptoms, but they do suffer from a brain disease. This disease was identified 100 years ago by a Dr. Alzheimer. He was a German doctor at the Bergholzi Clinic in Switzerland. When a 52-year-old woman died of this ailment, he performed an autopsy. In her brain, he found strange tangles of fibers and plaques or bunches of degenerated nerve endings. Now, a century later, we still know little about the causes of this affliction, which has been called the silent epidemic of the 21st century. What are its characteristics? They vary. Not every forgetful person has Alzheimer's. Most have treatable problems caused by such things as clogged arteries. But those who are diagnosed with Alzheimer's have varying symptoms. They may include unexplained hostility, mood changes, suspicion, withdrawal, fear, anger, depression, poor hygiene, weird dress, insomnia, accidents, or dependence, just to name a few. Such characteristics cause the uninformed to make comments like, "Hey, my dad is in his second childhood. He's popped his lid," or such things. Yet conversely, there are many patients who appear relaxed and happy, even though they are totally confused. What could cause such a strange disease? Heredity? A virus? Toxins in the water? Aluminum deposits in the brain? Blows to the head? The death of a family member or some other trauma? Perhaps a combination of factors? And what is the cure? After 100 years, doctors are still asking these questions. This horrible disability may strike someone you love. If you suspect Alzheimer's, have a diagnosis as soon as possible. It may not be Alzheimer's, or it may be. One co-worker told me, "Dad and Mom both have advanced Alzheimer's. When I see them, they don't recognize me, and that's devastating." It's time now to turn to our Christian faith, to find the strength that you and I need when someone we love has Alzheimer's. Martin Luther once said that God is where you hang your heart. Many of us are hanging our hearts on the profound devastation that Alzheimer's causes both patient and family. Our God is with us in this great time of need. God, who is with you, can give you and your family the strength necessary for this trial. Remember, whether someone you love has Alzheimer's or you yourself have it, God is love. 1 John 4:16 says, "We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love. Whoever remains in His love remains in God, and God remains in him." By the way, my Bible has no footnote here that says you are not included in the love of God. Because God does love you, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. John 15, verse 13 says, "No one has greater love than this, that a person lay down his life for his friends." That's what God's Son did for you when He died on Calvary's cross. He laid down His life as a sacrifice to God for your sins. Alzheimer's, just like all other diseases, is a symptom of our sin, our disobedience to God. If our sins were not paid for, you and I would have a terrible prognosis, an eternity of suffering for our disobedience. But your Savior laid down His life. On your behalf, Jesus suffered God's anger against sin. All you and your loved one need do is believe this simple message of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. As many of you know, it's not easy to care for someone who has Alzheimer's. Each day presents great challenges. But Christ rose from the dead and is going to take you and me, His beloved, to heaven. That wonderful prospect gives an eternal perspective to our caregiving here on earth. Paul says in Colossians 3, "Be eager for the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Keep your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with Him in glory." It's going to be great when you and the one you love are in heaven. But what about now? Caring for someone with Alzheimer's makes you cry out with the psalmist, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long?" Indeed, how long? Remember, God is where you hang your heart. However long the disease ravages your loved one, the average length is 9 years, God is with you. In this situation, as unwelcome as it is, you can share the love of God. The Bible says we love because He first loved us. St. Paul has provided us with a caregiver's list. It's in Colossians chapter 3. This caregiver's list doesn't come from some uninformed person in an ivory tower. It's God's word through Paul, a man who himself struggled with physical illness during his life and who is well qualified to teach you and me. In Colossians 3, Paul tells us to dress yourselves with tenderheartedness. Dress yourselves. Each morning you make a decision about what you'll wear. God loves you and has saved you by Christ, so each morning you'll want to make a conscious decision to practice Christian virtues as you care for someone who has Alzheimer's. Our friend Louise clothed herself with tenderheartedness. She sought counsel from her pastor and support group. Once she understood and accepted Alzheimer's burden, she no longer blamed her mother. When Martha became difficult, Louise would take her hand and speak softly about Jesus' presence, of God's care, of picnic fun that they once shared. Louise clothed herself in tender-heartedness. The caregiver's list includes kindness. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Help one another bear these burdens, and so you will carry out the law of Christ." Louise carried out that law of love in a very real way. She helped lift her mother in and out of the bathtub. The world will never notice such love, but God does. The caregiver's list includes humility. Someone once praised the humility of a British politician. On hearing this, Winston Churchill quipped that the politician did have a lot to be humble about. You and I, too, have a lot to be humble about, and yet God is with truly humble people. 1 Peter 5, verse 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's not beneath your station to clean up after someone you love. The caregiver's list includes gentleness. Jesus was gentle. When others abused him, he did not abuse them in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but left it in the hands of him who judges fairly. Gentleness. Our friend Louise did artwork with her mom and played simple games with her. The caregiver's list includes patience. I wonder how many times Mother Martha had to be patient with little daughter Louise. And now it's Louise's turn to show patience. Do you need an incentive to be patient? Think of how patiently God has dealt with you over the years. All things do work together for good for those who love God. The caregiver's list includes bearing with one another. Louise no longer scolded Martha for wandering away. Martin Luther once said that God gave us two eyes so that we could occasionally close an eye to another's faults. That's a point well taken. That's a habit worth developing. The caregiver's list from Colossians chapter 3 says, "Forgive one another if you have any complaint against anyone. Forgive just as the Lord forgave you." Now, this is not simply theoretical advice for caregivers. In Louise's case, it came down to the very practical matter of forgiving her brothers who had been so slow in demonstrating care for Mom. Who are you angry with? Forgive, just as the Lord forgave you. Paul sums it all up by saying in Colossians 3:14, "On top of all these virtues, put on love, which binds it all together to make it perfect." Love, that's the key virtue. The Greek word for love is agape, a selfless, giving love. That's the kind of love that Jesus showed us when he gave himself into death on the cross. If our Savior so loved us, we should give of ourselves to all whom we love, especially someone we love who has Alzheimer's. We expect no reward. We take it calmly when no one says thank you. We simply love, because he first loved us. And finally, Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ, to which you were called as one body, rule in your hearts, and continue to be thankful." Our friend Louise is thankful. She's thankful to the Alzheimer's Association. One of its 220 chapters was located in a nearby church, and this support group even let her explode in anger and frustration without criticizing her. Chapter members told her of helpful books and videos, and occasionally a member cared for Martha so that Louise could get away. Louise was thankful, thankful to the people who helped her through the tough times, and also thankful to God who says, "My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak." God is where you hang your heart. Is your heart breaking because someone you love has Alzheimer's? God is with you. God will help you be a loving caregiver. Jesus, your Savior, says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.